Welcome to episode 27 from Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover talent and trainer, Tina Zaremba. Today I'm talking with the co-owner of Abacus Entertainment, Mr. Bruce Kroenberg. Listen in as Bruce shares how he found voiceovers, how Abacus Entertainment supports the VO community here in NYC and beyond, as well as trends he's hearing in the VO industry. Here's our chat. All right, so Bruce, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Of course.
I so appreciate it. I guess I want to start off with, how did you find voiceovers? I always say they don't talk about it at career day. So tell me.
Well, actually, I didn't find voiceovers. It kind of found me. I was very fortunate. This was back in 1990. And I was just an actor in New York doing theater. Somehow, serendipitously, I stumbled into the voiceover industry. It was kind of a series of events that had to do with me booking an on-camera commercial through Abrams, which was also a radio spot. And then the woman who wrote and produced it wanted to book me for something else the following week and called the wrong agency looking for me. She called J. Michael Bloom and Associates instead of Abrams. Mm-hmm. And Bloom checked to see if I was signed with anyone. And I wasn't signed with Abrams. I was just freelancing. And they took the booking and gave it to me. I was totally confused when they called me. I was like, I don't know anybody at J. Michael Bloom. And they said, well, Joy Golden called here with a booking for you. And we checked to see if you were signed and you weren't. So we're giving you the booking. And the voiceover department would like to meet you this Thursday. I was like, okay. So I went down and I met Chaz Cowing and Linda Weaver, who ran the voiceover department at J. Michael Bloom before they went belly up. And they signed me on the spot. I didn't have a demo. I had no experience. Chaz just like rolled the dice with me and took a chance. And that's how I got started.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was. You know, I tell that story to a lot of people, including my students. I have to say that, unfortunately, I don't know if that happens that much anymore. You know, I wish it did.
Yeah, the industry has changed so much that, those stories are far and few between. My story is kind of similar in that I sent out my demo. Well, no, I had a demo and sent it out. And David Coakley, who was at Bloom, did you?
Yes, of course I know David. Oh, I love David.
I know. He was so wonderful when he was in the business.
Yes, he was.
He thought I was from Chicago. And I think he thought I was related to Karen Zaremba. I think that's why he called. My last name is Zaremba. Sometimes people see Z and they just think, oh, Zaremba, Zaremba, whatever.
She's a singer, a Broadway actress, right?
Yeah, she is. And she's quite lovely. I met her a couple of times.
Yeah.
So you are the co-owner and voiceover coach at Abacus Entertainment. Can you tell folks what exactly Abacus Entertainment is?
Sure. We are a two-handed business. We have both production and education. I'm in charge of education. My partner, Brian Falk, is in charge of production. When I say production, that means that we actually do voiceover jobs for different companies. We work with a live entertainment company. We also work with some e-learning people, and we work with a couple of ad agencies. So we actually bring in voiceover work, and we usually wind up using our students, which is great. Brian also does video as well as audio. He goes out into the corporate world and shoots talking head videos of people in the offices and things like that. That's kind of what we do production-wise. Plus, where production and education meet is that Brian produces all of our demos as well, our voiceover demos.
Cool. So
that's when I bring my students over to him and we work together in producing the demos. My part is I'm in charge of education. People work with me both one-on-one, in person here in my studio, and also through Zoom, which I love better than Skype.
I know, me too.
Yeah, and I work with lots of people on Zoom. We also have a monthly meetup called Open Mic VO Night, and it's become very popular. People come here, and we have a gathering of maybe 16 to 20 people. Everybody reads copy. We all talk about the business, you know, successes, failures, frustrations, cool things that happen, what's changing in the business, and so forth. We also give away recording gear. We have a raffle at this Open Mic VO Night. So it's a lot of fun. And it's a way for people to get out of their home studios or whatever and to, you know, meet other people who are doing the same thing that they are.
I love that. Now, so do you give the same piece of copy to all the students?
No. Everybody gets a different copy. Yeah.
And you give them feedback on how they're
doing. Oh, yeah. And sometimes I'll just, you know, do something crazy. Like everybody will get here. I'll be like, okay, we're just going to do video game characters tonight. And everybody's like thrilled, you know, because they all love to do video game characters. And, you know, and then some nights I'll do stuff that's more corporate. I'll bring in guests. Like last week, I had one of our coaches, Rob Moreira, who teaches for us Spanish-speaking voiceover. He came and he assisted me in working with people and giving them feedback. Tom Deere did one with us, actually. So, you know, we try to make it different each time. We try to make it interesting and fun each time. And actually, because the demand has gone up, we're now going to have two a month instead of one a month. That's exciting. The other thing that we do is we have subscribers. So for $25 a month, you can subscribe to Abacus Entertainment and you get admitted to both open mic nights, plus a whole range of other things that we're adding to the subscription. Like you could come in and get coaching for an audition during certain times of the day. And that's part of the subscription. We're going to be offering open mic Zoom night, where we're going to do a Zoom version of our open mic night, where we have a bunch of people on Zoom. We're working on a lot of different things to bring in people. And then our marketing person, who's Sarah Waters. I don't know if you know who Sarah is.
No, who's she?
Sarah's our marketing person. She created our website and made it and optimized it and made it interactive the way it is now. So you can go onto our website and you can see that there's lots of coaches you can work with besides me. We have Ann Ganguza, who's out in LA. She's great. And then we have Rob, and then we have Katina, Jack Dennis, who's a big like promo guy from the old days. He's going to be teaching promos for us now. We've really sort of expanded our website so that we can include more coaches and just more, you know, things that we can offer people rather than it just being a website where you can see where we are and what we do. You could actually go into the site and book stuff.
So as a voiceover instructor, what are the biggest pitfalls you see VO talent experiencing?
Do you mean like as when they're auditioning or when they're just working with me?
Either or with the business.
With the business.
Or auditioning. I'm totally open.
Yeah, I think that some of the pitfalls is that, well, just, you know, talking about the pay-to-play sites, for instance, you know, because a lot of my students, when they finish with me and do their demos, they go on to the pay-to-play sites, either the big ones like Voice 123 or the other one, they feel like they get frustrated because there's so many people on those sites. And I think that one of the things that is challenging for them is that they've done training, they've gotten to a point where they're good enough to audition, and they have a great demo that we've produced for them. But then they go on this site and there are people on those sites that, you know, never had any training, that didn't do demos. And they're kind of competing with people who just don't have the ability or the talent. And there's so many people on those sites. I think one of the things is just quantity. You know, there's a lot of people competing to do voiceover.
So what do you tell them when they get frustrated? Do you tell them to...
I just tell them to just keep doing it. Don't stop. Because that's the thing that they do. They get frustrated and they stop.
Yeah.
They just say, you know what? I've done 35 auditions this week. That's it. I'm not doing anymore. No one's called me. And I'm like, whoa. I said 35 is not that much. Okay.
Right.
You know, maybe after 100 auditions and you still haven't booked anything... I had something happen just the other day. One of my students, you know, she sent me an email. She was like, Bruce, she says, I'm not booking anything. She says, you know, I've sent in so many auditions and nobody is responding. I'm like, only thing I can tell you is to just keep doing what you're doing. You know, it's great practice. It'll keep you focused. Sure enough, hour later, she booked something. An hour later, okay? That's the thing I tell them. You do not know. You just don't know how it's going to come your way and when it's going to come your way. You know, people are always asking me, some not everyone who works with me, but when they first meet me and we have a consult, they'll say, well, when can I expect to make money in this business?
Oh, man. Yeah.
That's the big question, right? You know, and I'm like, well, that's going to depend on you. Okay. I said, that's going to totally depend on your dedication, your focus, your drive to make it happen. That's the only thing. That's the only way I could answer your question. Because I don't have a crystal ball. None of us do. If you make this investment and you continue after you've made the investment of coaching and training and a demo, if you continue to invest in trying to get work and doing whatever you can to get it, you will get work. But I can't tell you when.
Yeah. And I think too, that's like a, I don't know, a red flag, but if people are solely in this for the money, they're not going to have the richness on a monetary sense or a soul sense.
No.
That's their driver, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when I started doing VO, I was a theater actor. I wasn't making a whole lot of money, even though I was in a hit show off Broadway. I was in Tony and Tina's Wedding.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I got that. That's
what
how
year were you now. In that?
Oh, 1990, 1991.
Okay.
Long time ago.
Yeah, I had a friend in it, but that wasn't until 94 she was in it.
Yeah. And, you know, even though it was a big hit show and people were coming in droves, I wasn't making that much money doing it, you know. Mm-hmm. But then I started to make money through voiceover. But the interesting thing was that I did not know I was going to make the kind of money I was making. When I booked my first national network campaign and the checks started rolling in, I was in shock. You know, I had no idea. And so, yeah, I wasn't really doing it because, oh, yeah, I can make a lot of money doing this. It was like, wow, this is a new cool thing. And I'm having fun doing it, you know? Yeah. And I feel kind of lucky that I was sort of dropped into this world, you know? And that's all I was thinking. When the money started to roll in, it was like, oh, my God, wow, you know? So, yeah, if you think first about the money, then it's not always the best way to kick things off. Yeah.
I know you voice for Planters and Dunkin' Donuts, and you've been doing this for a while. What do you see or hear major trends right now for VO talent?
I think both for men and for women, I'm hearing, and I try to guide my students sometimes, especially if they have this quality already, but I'm hearing this kind of really kind of simple, kind of neutral sort of read that's been happening a lot lately. I don't necessarily hear what I used to hear in voiceover, which were these kind of very distinct, very textured voices. Instead, I hear more like someone who had just walked into the studio and someone said, here, read this. Of course, that's not what happened. It kind of has that kind of lightness, spontaneity to it.
Yeah.
You know, it could be the millennial read, you know, it could be that just that smart, kind of simple, young, slightly neutral kind of read. I hear that happening a lot with VO and just not pushed at all.
How can folks connect with you?
Very easy. My email address is bruce@abacus.nyc. Abacus.nyc is the way to get to our website. Booking a 15-minute free consult, you can do that right on our website. And I conduct those via Zoom. I do those pretty much on a regular basis. If you just are interested or curious, you want to find out if VO is for you, within that 15-minute consult, I include a quick coaching session.
Uh-huh.
So I send the person some copy and I let them choose one. And we just do a quick coaching session so I could see where they're at. They can get an idea of where they're at. And I do those all the time. So you can just go on the site, abacus.nyc, and book one of those.
Beautiful. So my last question here is, Maya Angelou says, words mean more than what is set down on paper. It takes the human voice to infuse them with deeper meaning. So with that said, what do you hope your overall voice conveys in life and in voiceover work?
Honesty.
Okay, cool.
Honesty and clarity and an ability to communicate my feelings and my thoughts in a way that they can reach another person and have them understand.
I love that. Thank you so much, Bruce. I truly, truly appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thanks for doing this. This has been great.
Thanks for listening in. Join me next week where I'm talking with the vivacious and talented Tracy Lindley. Tracy's a voiceover performer based in the Midwest, and she is just crushing it. She built her career very quickly using LinkedIn,
The platform works so well, and so many fellow VO talent were asking her how she optimized LinkedIn to build her career, that what does she do? She went and she built an online program teaching other voiceover talent how to use LinkedIn to build their own careers. And she has 4 kids. This woman is amazing. You're in for a treat. Until next time, here's to owning our voices.